Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
I remember about a year ago, I was at my uncle's funeral on the Neufeld side of my family, And I would just say, you know, we had the night kind of before the funeral where we're, okay, what's going on? Interesting. Some spotlights are out there. I like it. But we had the night before the funeral where we're sharing stories about my uncle. Then we have the funeral. And as a family, we were just grieving together. We were laughing together, kind of doing what families do. And it was at kind of the FOSBA afterwards that someone came up to our table, and I still remember what he said. He said, you know, I always wish I could be a part of this family. And there was something about our family, something about the love that had been nourished within the family. And part of that, I think, was, you know, my grandma did so much. My grandpa passed away when my mom was young, but just if you know, my grandma used to go to this church, and if you know her, she just radiated love. She fostered love within our family, and I think our Neufeld family had this closeness and this tightness and this love because of the love that she has shown. And when it comes to us being part of God's family, that's what God wants as well. We're brought into the love of the Father and the Son, the eternal love and relationship between those two. By the Holy Spirit, He has poured that love into our hearts. We've experienced that love, and now God wants us to show and extend that love together as a family. And this is really Jesus' heart. It's why if you look at John 17, this is a really important prayer. It's kind of Jesus' high priestly prayer before he goes to the cross. It's a prayer too where Jesus prays for us. He literally prays for you because it says those who would believe, and that's us. And part of that prayer in verse 22 says, I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. One as we are one. This is Jesus talking to the Father. And that's pretty one, right? Because God is three persons, but one essence, one divine will. And it's maybe hard to believe that we could be one in that same way, but this is where we've received God's glory. God didn't leave us alone and just say, hey guys, just try to get along, try to tame the flesh as much as possible. No, He's given us the Holy Spirit. And then verse 23 says, I am in them, and you are in me. We're brought in to the family and love of God. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. This is God's heart, that we would be this family that's unified by the glory of God. And we'd have such unity that people see us and say, I want to be part of that family. I want to be brought in to the love of that family, the love of the Father and the Son and the love of all of His adopted kids. And that's God's heart. And sometimes, you know, when we look at, you know, the state of the church and just fractured relationships, It saddens me because it's like this is God's heart is for us to be so unified, right? And then sometimes we enter church and we see that the same kind of bickering that happens within the world. It reminds me of when I would play in when I went to Steinbeck Bible College and I would play in Bush League hockey tournaments. And before we entered a church tournament, someone said these tournaments are like rougher. Like they were literally bracing me for those tournaments to be even more amped up and angry than the other normal Bush League. And I was like, oh, that's not great. It's not a great reputation, right? And ultimately, God wants us to be a family of laid down love where we would model the love of Christ to one another. And today we're gonna be focusing on the 59 one another's in the New Testament. About 59 times, it says love or something like that. It's all, you know, about love. But it instructs us to love one another, one another, one another, one another, one another. I won't do it 59 times. And often it's talking about the love between the church family. Are we called to love the world? Yeah, we're called to love the world. But at the same time, there is to be this care and community and hospitality within the church. We're to be this family of love within us, and then that love needs to spill out into the world. It's gonna be very hard if we just love the world and then we say, hey, welcome to my family, and then they come to our family gathering and it's like, yeah, I don't wanna be a part of this family, right? No, this family is to be one of love, and so God calls us to love one another. One of the most important verses where it says one another is where Jesus says in John 13, a new commandment I give you, that you are to love one another just as I have loved you. I love that. Jesus says, here's a new commandment. And the new commandment is, they were already told to love one another, but now the new commandment is, hey, I've modeled this love. I've washed your feet. You'll watch me lay down my life for you. And this kind of love is what I want you to do. And I think this is beautiful that we have the ultimate example in Christ who laid down his life for us. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts empowering us to love. And the love that we're showing is not just love that God tells us to do, it's love that he's shown us. And it's a love that actually wants to grip our hearts and be transformed so that through his grace, we're able to show it. How many of you have been changed by the grace of God? Yeah, and then love just starts flowing. It's just like he's the vine, you're a branch, and when you're within his grace and within his love and you transform the way that you see people and treat people, all of a sudden you realize, wow, this is the kind of love that God wants me to show. He's empowering me and he's also shown me. Then it says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That should be a marking point. People should see the love of this family and say, that's a disciple of Jesus. How do you know? They have that love. They have that love that the world doesn't have. The world has a self-seeking love. They have a laid down love. They have an agape love. They have an unconditional love. And the world is to know us by that love that we have for each other, but also the world too. But today we're focusing on that family love. And so I took the 59 verses and one another's. Hopefully you got that sheet, and if you don't, grab one on your way out. But I kind of broke them down into five categories of how we are to love one another. And the first, category that I made is that we are to welcome one another. Romans 15:7 says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. It says in multiple places in the Bible that we are to greet one another with a holy kiss or a kiss of love. How many of you were here when Pastor Claude preached a whole message on the holy kiss? That's awesome. I had not heard a message before on the holy kiss. It makes sense that it was a French Canadian, not a Mennonite, that preached that too. When I go to visit my wife's side of the family, I'm always a little scared of the holy kiss. Because you're like, which side do you go to, right? I don't want to smack her aunt on the lips. You're supposed to kind of do it on the cheek. But anyway, we might not be a people that kiss, but there is to be this warm embrace, right? This warm and welcoming embrace. 1 Peter 4 verse 9 says, show hospitality to one another. It's bringing someone in. Right? The way I would describe it too is, have you ever entered a house and you felt at home? And you felt like a guest, and they take your coat and they offer you a drink and they say, sit down, and they look at you and they listen to you and you're like, I am welcomed here. That's the kind of church that we are to be. That's kind of the kind of love that we are to have for each other. A love too that doesn't show favoritism. No matter who walks in these doors and joins our family gatherings, you know, it could be someone that comes in a limo. It could be someone that walked, right? We want to love. I remember a long time ago that we had a church guest speaker, and the guest speaker dressed up as someone who you would probably presume doesn't have much, someone who you probably thought would be homeless. And so this guest speaker is incognito during the worship service. He doesn't arrive and say, "Hey, I'm the guest speaker." He just kind of floats into the congregation and was seeing how he would be received. And then to everyone's shock, he comes up after worship and he's like, "I'm your guest speaker here today." Whew. That day, he said, we passed that test. Someone offered to take him out for lunch. He had different people welcoming him. And I think that's so beautiful. Would we pass that test today? Right? If that test happened again, what would happen? Would he be welcomed? Would he be sitting alone, or would he be welcomed in? Would he be invited for lunch? And ultimately, we want to be this people that welcomes each other. And I know sometimes that's hard. How many of you, the greeting time is not maybe your favorite time of the service? You don't even have to raise your hand. Maybe that's too honest, right? I know for me, sometimes I stand out in the foyer after the sermon, and this is how I feel. I feel like I'm a surfer surfing a wave, and I can surf it a bit, and then I just like drown with the wave of people, and I'm like, whoo, this is overwhelming, and I just kind of take a step back and then enter another conversation. You have that social anxiety, right? You have all of these insecurities that pop up, and sometimes I'm awkward. I'm sorry, I'm awkward. I remember one morning, I think it was two or three different people, when I would shake their hand, were like, "Well, that was awkward." And all of a sudden, you start getting in your head. You start almost wanting to isolate yourself from community because you're like, clearly I'm the problem. Like I went home and I'm like, "Hey, I'm gonna get a mannequin and I'm gonna learn to shake a hand, or I'll learn when they're going for the dap or when they're going for the handshake," or I don't know, I was just awkward. But again, when I get caught up with that anxiety, I actually realize that now I'm not focusing on love and you, I'm focusing on me. Now I'm not looking to encourage you and make you feel welcomed, I'm looking for you to like me. And that's where a lot of our anxieties come from. And the enemy's gonna tell us all of these lies to make us say, "Oh, you're not good with people, you're awkward with people." No, just love, just bring that warmth. And hey, when I'm awkward, deal with it, that's who I am. But it's not gonna stop me from loving, right? Or isolate me. The next point that the Bible says so clearly is that we are to serve one another. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, "With humility, consider one another more important than yourselves." Wow. Be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. How many people love to do that, submit to one another? It's like a swear word in our culture today. We want power. We don't want to give. We don't want to submit. We want you to submit to me. Outdo one another in showing honor. Isn't that cool? You have a contest of honor. Wash one another's feet. Through love, serve one another. Use your gift to serve one another. Whatever God has given you, whatever capacity he's given you to serve, he's given you a gift. Use that and serve. And this is a marking thing for the church of God. Like, this is one of the, look at Jesus. He had all power and he didn't consider equality with God something that he would use to his own advantage, but he took the form of a servant. And he came down and he washed our feet and he died on a cross. And this love, this love, this Christian love, that one of the marking things is that we are people that get low. Amen? Our enemy is the one that tried to raise himself up above the stars of God. And our Savior is the one that got low and served and loved. And so if you want, I really believe if you want to feel the presence of God in your life, like water runs to the lowest point, you get low, and God's presence is gonna meet you there. Get low. God humbles the proud and gives grace to those who are low. Love is not self-seeking. I have a would you rather that I wanna ask you today. And when I came up with it, I had to take a moment to let it convict me. Would you rather do extraordinary things with little love and be noticed by others, or do little things with extraordinary love and be noticed by God? I'll ask it one more time. Would you rather do extraordinary things with little love and be noticed by others, or do little things with extraordinary love and be noticed by God? That's a big question, right? And there's nothing wrong to aspire to be someone that does good things for God. The Bible even says it's good to desire to be an elder is a good and honorable thing. But what's our highest goal? It's to love. Our highest goal is to love and get low. And if God exalts you, that's just another opportunity for you to serve even more. The more power and influence God gives you, the lower you go in serving and honoring others. Amen? This is the kind of love we are to have for each other. And I want to thank you all for serving. You know, there's people right now in childcare, taking care of my daughter, right? You pick them up and they're hearing cries and it's chaos in there and they're just loving. They're showing the love of Jesus. Once in a while, I pop in on the youth groups and it's like a zoo. It's wild. They've got so much energy and these people are old and young are offering their time to love and to serve. My wife the other day talked about someone on the meal train who like is a young mom with young kids. She's like, she brings meals every time. So thank you. In the ways that you're serving, thank you so much. And if you're not serving right now, hey, volunteer huddle this Thursday. Be there. There's lots of opportunities to serve. And I believe when we do, man, we are going to experience the presence of God as we get low. The third point today that I want to talk about is building up one another, discipling and teaching one another. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Instruct one another, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There are, especially in small groups, I think there are these places where it needs to be like a spiritual potluck, right? Today, you're getting a meal. You're sitting, you're comfy, it's good. But there should be these small groups where you're gonna bring an exhortation. You're gonna bring something. I even encourage you after the service, look for someone to pray for. Look for someone to encourage. It says, comfort one another with these words, which is just the words of truth. One of the ways that we overcome the enemy, there are three ways it says in Revelation 12. One, the blood of the Lamb. What's the number? 2-1. The word of our testimony. It's you speaking the truth of God. You need to speak the truth of God. You might not do it from a stage, but you can do it wherever you are, right? So comfort one another with these words. Therefore, encourage one another. Build one another up just as you are doing. Exhort one another every day. I love that encouragement. Make that your goal every day. How can I encourage someone? And often it's a simple as this. Do you ever think of a really encouraging to say to someone in your head, you think of an encouragement, you're like, that person is great at this. That person's awesome. And then you don't do anything with it, right? Just say it to them. Just say, hey, you know what? I thought of you. I saw you serving. Bless you. God sees that. If you think of a friend, how many of you think of a friend all of a sudden and someone pops in your head and you're like, oh, I should pray for them or I should text them. Do it. Text them, pray for them. That could be a way that God is using you to give them grace and give them the encouragement that they need. And that's what the body does. It encourages each other. Hebrews 10 says, let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Part of your job is just to consider how you can encourage each other. Be in the foyer and just stand there. Let the wave kind of wash over you with all the people and just ask God and consider with God, God, I'm considering who are you wanting me to encourage? How can I build the body up today? Sometimes we come to church and it's all about us and it is good that we're receiving a word and getting encouraged, but what can I bring? How can I build the church up? This is where Paul was correcting the church in Corinth. He was getting on stage, speaking in tongues with no interpretation. Paul was like, prophesy. I'd rather you prophesy, eagerly desire to prophesy so the church will be built up. That's what we want to do. We want to be people that build up the church. So I encourage you to encourage, to be an encouragement. I really believe that one of the reasons I'm standing on stage is because of the encouragement and the instruction and the discipleship of different people in this room. People that taught me Sunday school, people that said, hey, I see leadership in you. All kinds of those people are why I'm here. And you need to be a part of that. The Great Commission is to what? Make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That part is not hard. Let's get some water. Let's dunk them. Let's baptize them in the name of the Trinity. All right, here we go. But the next part is long and takes a lot of effort, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. How many of you agree? Oh, that will take some work. Parents will agree. Oh, yeah, sometimes you have to repeat lessons, right? Youth leaders will agree. Sometimes you have to be patient with my youth kids, right? But we're all called to do that. We're all called to teach, not all from a stage, but we're all called to disciple and teach the ways of Jesus. So where are you doing that? How are you doing that? I'll speak for the young people leaders, Josue and Gloria and Michelin. We have a lot of room for you to disciple the next generation. Amazing opportunities. Yes, it's chaotic, but it's so, so, so important. And if you're here and you have gray hair or no hair, we want you with our young people. We really do. Don't waste your crown of glory, or your crown of glory, your crown of wisdom. That's what it says in Proverbs. When you're gray, be happy. It's a crown of wisdom, right? But don't waste that. The young people, they need father figures. Gloria was in my office this week and she was burdened because we have junior youth with no father figures, no male mentors in their life to walk with them. And so we need to be a family that says, I'm going to be part of that discipling, all of us. It won't look the same. You won't all be junior youth leaders, right? That wouldn't quite work. But you can all disciple. So what does it look like for me to be part of that? The fourth part of the one another is talking about this unity, this peace, and this need to forgive one another. Be kind to one another. Be at peace with one another. Live in harmony with one another. If you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. If we're just bickering and fighting and just consuming each other, what is the world gonna think? No, I know people right now that are like, I'm not stepping into church. You guys are, that's all just, I don't wanna be a part of that family, right? No, we wanna show this love between us. Don't lie to one another. Don't speak evil against one another. Let us not pass judgment on one another. I would say this doesn't mean that you can never call sin, sin in someone's life. Galatians 6 verse 1 actually talks about if you see a brother and sister in sin, correct them gently, right? So I think Romans 14 is talking about matters of conscience and not just direct sin. But as a church, we can actually be this people that brings each other into the unity of being Christ-like, that loves through correction. Has someone ever corrected you out of love? It's a beautiful thing. That's not an easy thing for someone to do, but it's a beautiful thing when you do it with the heart of saying, hey, I see this thing that's not Christ-like in your life, and I want to correct you. Don't grumble against one another. Don't become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We're just jockeying for to be noticed with our own pride. With patience, bearing with one another in love. There's a need to bear with one another. Amen? You're going to experience church hurt at some point. And yes, some is horribly evil and it's a good reason for you to leave church, but sometimes it's just this opportunity to learn to walk in grace, to learn to forgive, to learn to remind ourselves, wow, I'm a sinner and I was forgiven a great big debt. So now I'm going to extend grace and forgiveness to the person in front of me. Ultimately, as a church, if we're the family of God and Christ is the head and we're the body, then we need to follow Christ's example. I've heard people say, I'm not gonna go to church because of the people. Christians say that. I won't go to church because of the people that are there. But if we're following Christ, imagine if Christ said this, I won't come to earth and die because of the people. No, Christ didn't do that. He loved us even while we were still sinners. And so we wanna receive that love and extend it to one another. Ultimately, it says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is a command. And if you're here today and you have grudges in your heart, the Bible says, leave your offering at the altar and go make it right. You are invited to leave right now and make a phone call. If you need to apologize to someone, go knock on someone's door, make it right. Because if we believe in the gospel that we've been forgiven when we don't deserve it, then we're gonna extend that. Amen? God will give you grace to do that. If you're struggling with unforgiveness, pray this prayer. God, I don't wanna forgive, but you command it. So if you command it, the grace will be there for me to forgive. So give me your grace right now. Help me to see like you see. Help me to follow the head, Christ, who forgave and extended forgiveness to those that didn't deserve it. May I do the same. The last point today is that we need to be a place where we care for each other. We're real with one another and we heal together. Sometimes we're here and we're falling apart, right? Life is hard. You get asked, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm good, life's good, it's all good. Everything's good, God's good, I'm good, great. Okay, super. But we're hurting. Maybe we're stuck in sin. And this is where it says in James that we are to confess our sins to one another. We can be real. We're all trophies of God's grace. We're all on the same level. We're all here not because of our own obedience, but because of the obedience of Christ and the love that he's extended. That's how we got into this family. So let's heal together, guys. The enemy wants to trap us alone so we can sin, but we sin alone, but we heal together. This is why we have the prayer room. This is why in prayer training, I literally say when someone confesses a sin, don't raise your eyebrows. Don't do that. We're all in the same boat in this regard. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And sometimes we need help. And sometimes other people can help us. And when we confess our sin, we receive healing like it says in James 5. Have the same concern for one another. Bear one another's burdens. If we all saw, you know, if our burdens were an actual backpack this morning and we could see each other's burdens, we'd all have a backpack, right? Everyone would have a backpack. Some people's backpacks would be really heavy. There's probably some of you that are on the brink of, I feel like giving up. I don't know if I can make it. I'm walking and I make it here, but I feel like a walking zombie. I'm just done. If that's you, share your burdens. You're not a burden when you share your burdens. You're giving an opportunity for someone else in the family of God to extend Christ's love. And ultimately, if my leg is hurting, I'm glad when it tells my brain, right? Because if it didn't, it would maybe just rot and then my leg would fall off, and I don't want that. I wanna care for my leg. So tell each other, share your burdens if you want them shared. And when someone shares a burden with you, pray for them. Check up on them later. You know, recently, you know, going through a miscarriage, I read Job, and Job's friends do this beautiful thing. They sit with Job for 7 days and just weep with him. And then they make the mistake of opening their mouth. And they say all these foolish things. And sometimes when it comes to sharing burdens, we make it complicated. We think like, oh, I don't know if I have the right thing to say. I don't know how to fix it. You don't need to fix it. rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Just listen, just be empathetic, just join them there on the floor in whatever season they're in, or join them on the mountaintop when they're rejoicing. This is what we're called to be as the family of God. A family that's so transformed by the love of God, love of the Father and the Son that we've been brought into, and it's been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I pray that we'd be so transformed by His grace and love, that when people just see the way that we love and that love spills out into the world, people say the same thing. I want to be part of that family. And then we invite them in. We welcome them. We encourage them. We disciple them. We serve them. Amen. Let's stand and pray. I just want to read one last passage as our prayer today in Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. This is who we are as the family of God. Adopted by God. So loved by God. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another as you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. God, that's our prayer today, that we would put on love, that we'd received your love, we'd be transformed by your love and led by your love to get low and to serve and to welcome and to instruct others, and not to think just about how we can encourage ourselves, but how we can encourage other people in the body of Christ, and we'd be people that would care for each other. Mark us by that love. This is how the world will know that you, what's going on? This is how the world will know that you're real. It's the love that we have between us and the love that we show to the world. So mark us by your love. Where we are not being shaped by your love and not showing your love, may we confess and may we say, God, help me to do this. Help me to love my beautiful family. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.